saying you believe in God and you're practicing doing double talk and hurling things over the people's heads and making them pay for secret knowledge, you're not whole. He will make your conduct whole and sound and forgive you your sins. What is your sin? Your sin is that you have been lying. You've been saying you were righteous and claiming to believe in God and claiming to be faithful, but you've been holding secrets back from the poor, from the needy, from the ignorant. You've been holding secrets back from them, walking around with your self-made self, arrogant self, self-important self, walking around looking down on people. I got something that they don't have. I know something that they don't know. I'm above them. You ain't above nobody. If you got secret knowledge and you walk around looking down on people and your condition is just like theirs, where in the hell you think you've gone? You ain't going nowhere. You got knowledge like the donkey. The Quran say the donkey is carrying a bunch of books on his back. He's still a damn donkey. Excuse the language. You can load that donkey now with a bunch of books. He's still a donkey. He's a donkey with a load of books on his back. Now you all go and pay these secret orders for a few degrees, and you think you got something over somebody's head. You're a member of this sorority, a member of this fraternity. You're a member of this and a member of that. And you think you got some knowledge. But your situation is just like the average black. He a dumb black, don't know a word of your secret language. He got more money than you. His business doing better than yours. His state in the world looks better than yours. You only have some status among your secret fraternal brothers or sorority sisters. That's the only place you have a little dignity. You step out in the world, you just like everybody else. You a donkey with a bunch of books on your back. So let us understand this. You don't have nothing. Here is where it's at, baby. It's in this book. It continues. He that obeys Allah and his apostle. Not only obey Allah and his apostle. You have to accept a human being. Some people don't want to accept another human being. I heard that some of our people say in this community, I ain't gonna obey no man. I believe in the Quran, yeah. I obey Allah, but I ain't gonna obey no man. Allah requires that you obey a man too. Says obey Allah and obey his prophet, his messenger. Who was his messenger but a man? And a man just like you. Allah says in the Quran, say to them, Muhammad, I am a mortal being just like you. All right. And the same man and God holds us accountable only also to our lawful leaders, to our legitimate leaders. If you have a leader that has been established lawfully by the consent of the majority of the people, and you can't prove him to be disqualified or unworthy, you're supposed to obey that leader. It says obey Allah and obey his messenger and obey those who are trusted with authority. Isn't that the Quran? All right. So don't say you ain't gonna obey no human being. When you become human, you will. All right, so it continues now. We want to read this whole section here, the sixth and the ninth section of the Quran, of this chapter, Surah Ahzab, the 33rd chapter of the Quran. He that obeys Allah and his apostle has already attained the highest achievement. Listen at that language. He that obeys Allah and his messenger has already attained the highest achievement. So what is the highest achievement for you in the religion? It's to obey Allah and obey his messenger. Obey God and obey a mortal being, a messenger of God. We did indeed offer the trust to the heaven and the earth and the mountains. What kind of trust? I hope you are remembering the theme of this section. Now it says, we did indeed offer the trust to the heavens and to the earth and to the mountains. But they refused to undertake it, being afraid thereof. But man undertook it. He was indeed unjust and foolish, with the result that Allah had to punish the hypocrites, men and women, and the unbelievers, men and women, sororities and fraternity, fraternity and sorority. He had to punish the hypocrites, men and women, and the unbelievers, men and women. And Allah turns in mercy to the believers, men and women, for Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Praise be to Allah. And that's how this chapter ends. It's the ninth. It has 99 sections. That's the ninth section, the last section of this chapter. Now let us look at that last thought or last concept that's brought to our mind. Say, God offered the trust. God, he and the angels. You know, the angels, they offer you too. God say, he prays on for the prophet, or he offers blessings upon the prophet, and so do the angels. So see, God and the angels, they don't work against each other. So whatever God allows, or whatever God does, his angels likewise. All right? So here it says, God offered the trust of the world, and also the angels. The angels, they offer the trust. Now, this needs discussion in private class, in order for us to really get the full benefit. The purpose of this meeting is not that. But for those who understand, Allah bless you. Good. Those who understand more. But it'll be enough for you to just to see the points that I'm making. All right? So imagine now that God has finished making the world. He has made the universe. Everything is made. And then he says, who wants to rule this now? I've made it. Now, who wants to be my servant to care for this, to take care of this for me, or to be responsible for this for me? You know, the Bible gives this in the New Testament. Jesus said that he had come to inherit the works of his Father. And he said that he didn't own the garden. He was only the caretaker, right? But he was responsible for keeping it up. Now, a lot of us forget that the Old Testament says the same thing. Said he made the man and he charged him to dress the garden and to protect it, right? Yeah, the same thing, just in the Old Testament and the New, same thing. Okay, so imagine now, here's the world, and God's saying now that I made the world, said now I'm going to offer it. And he says to his angels, now, this is who are we going to offer the care? Who are we going to make caretaker for this? And he offers it to the heavens. That's the angels, you see. That's the order of the angels. So, well, how about you all? You all want this? No, God, we fear being responsible for this. We refuse to accept this responsibility. Then the Quran goes on to say, and he offered it to the earth. And the earth likewise refused. No, God. Too much responsibility for the earth. Then he offers it to the mountains. See, the mountains, they rise up upon the earth, right? You know, science, you study science, they tell you that the mountains have grown up out of the earth to become solid upon the earth. They grow up out of the earth, become solid, and in time they wear off. The erosion, weather, climate, etc., wear them down. This is what science tells us. Okay. Donkey, will you believe that? That's what they tell you in your schools. All right, not to insult you, but just to awaken your mind to respect somebody when that person is due respect. Yes. So he offers a trust to the mountains. Mountains refuse too. No, God. We fear too much for us. But man, common man, what does Allah say of him? Says, yes, وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. But The human being accepted that, to do that. And he was inclined, kana means inclined to, having a tendency. He has a tendency to be, he has a tendency to be unjust and foolish. He has a tendency to be irrational and foolish. He has a tendency to do wrong to him own self. He oppresses himself. Just like I was talking earlier about us taking on these high notions of what we are and of what our dignity is. But the reality, the way we live, tells us something different about ourselves. So here we find God pointing right directly to the problem that we have this big idea that we're so big. We're going to run the world for God. Okay, I'll run the heavens and the earth. I'll manage. I'll take care of the universe. I accept this responsibility. And God says, think not, creature, that your creation is bigger than the creation of the heavens and the earth. Come on down to your small level. Come down here on the reality, on the plane of reality that you exist on. That's where your peace will be. That's where your home is, and that's where you will find peace. But as long as you try to think of yourself as being something you are not, try to think of yourself as being a creature that you are not. You are no divine creature. You come here knowing nothing, and when you put away, if you're old, you see now. You stay around here long enough, you get senile. You go back to the baby state of mind. So says the Quran, right? And if somebody has to change your diapers again, you start woo-weeing on yourself and boo-booing on yourself. You get right back in the crib mentally. And people have to clean you up like they did when you were a little old bitty thing weighing about 4 or 5 pounds. So don't think you are no divine. You're nothing but the earth. Just like you see a tree come up out of the earth, or it's a miracle. You can't do that. God did that. Big old tree come out of the earth. Started off as a little old thing you couldn't hardly find. Needed a glass to find. Something was peeping up out of the earth. All of a sudden, after a few years, there's a giant stand thing towering up out of the earth. Say, ooh, look at the tree. And then you look at it in time, and oh, it started dying. Limbs started rotting. It started falling. Going back there, after a while, no more tree. Say, hey, that tree ain't no more good. Cut it down. That's you too. You ain't no divine. Oh, I'm God. Yes, we are God. Don't let him tell you all man ain't God. His father was right. His son is mercy. His son is a savior for you. That's right. In plain language. No spook talk about that. Don't go and interpret that. Don't tell nobody what the imam meant. I meant just what I said. So you know we already have a tendency as children to feel bigger than we are. You know? And then people come and feed this crazy stuff to us about God being man and tell us God is man. Then we really go crazy. Oh, yeah, that. Angels, we are the angels, and we are God. We are the God. We made this universe. We are the ones to run this. What makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquake? All that's caused by us, man, the black man. He makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquake. That's true. And all that's made in your mind. You rain in your mind. You thunder in your mind. And you create earthquakes in your mind. Baby, you get all messed up. But out here, God's doing that. You better look out. The lightning may hit you. You don't control that. The old man, think not that your creation is bigger than the creation of the heavens and the earth. Isn't that the word of God in this book? All right. You know, these sisters, they may jive us, but believe me, these sisters know you ain't no God. Mama know you ain't God. Now she may fool some of these children, but mama know you ain't no God, man. Praise be to Allah.
did he, ma'am, bring us here to talk to us like this? We first need life. Once we get life back, then we can go and build the world. But let us get our minds back. Let's get our hearts back. Let's get our life back. Then we're going to build business. We're going to build institutions of learning. We're going to build the world. Allah is going to build the world with this new people I'm talking to right now. Now, so much for that. Now I have to go to this paper. See, I had to go to the major source there. Now I go to my little stuff here. Let's see, what do I have here? Oh, yes. Well, I want to talk to you about a quality in us that we can build on. See, whenever you want to build, don't you have to find a suitable place? See, builders, they want to build something. I want to build me a house. Or I want to build me a factory. But he has to find a ground. He has to find a suitable place, right? And builders that got some sense, the bigger the building, the more he's going to study the ground. You know, if the building ain't big, and maybe it's a little light thing, he won't worry too much about the ground. But the bigger his concept is, the more he's going to have to study the base that he's going to put it on. Well, see, what we talk about reconstructing life, reconstructing the world, building something for ourselves, or building the dignity of a people, we're talking about something big. That ain't small. Look here, I can't just preach to you emotional sermons and we get that. That's been our problem in the past. We've had preachers and congressmen who come out with all this emotionalism and fire us up with emotions. And we look like we're going to turn the world upside down. And that storm don't last nothing but a few days. And pretty soon we find ourselves down in the same old rut again. Isn't that a fact of our history? Well, we don't want that. We don't want these emotional bursts without some kind of concrete direction, without establishing really something real for us to build our society or build our life upon. Now, I see something in us that is a quality that I know we can build on. And it's the quality that we've been overlooking. It's the one that the world has been taking our attention away from. And I know you want to say, that's what he had to say. You're looking for me to come out with something like the earth is 66 trillion tons. The diameter of the universe is 76 trillion miles, you know, 72 trillion miles, et cetera. The earth is 394 trillion square inches, you know. You're looking for me to come out with something like that. Well, I ain't going to come out with nothing like that. Why would a man want to know the square inches of the earth when he want to go to New York? Why would he take time to get the square inches of the earth when all he want to do is go to New York? I don't know how we're going to use those figures. Who in the world going to ever use those figures, the square inches of the earth? I don't know nothing that requires us to use those figures, the square inches of the earth. Well, we're going to lay the carpet in the hole. You know, they're not going to be cut to just the yard. It has to be cut to the foot and maybe to the inch and to the fraction of the inch. I can see us talking about the square inches of the carpet. But first we're going to have to get the yards. And then we worry about the inches after we get the yards of the carpet, right? Well, here we're going to start go tell us we ain't the God. We know the square inches of the earth. 394 trillion, 613 trillion, blah, 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 wee, wah, wah. I'm the original man. I'm God. This is my home, the earth, and I know every square inch of it. Say, hey, brother, how many square inches are in that coat you wear? Say, how many feet is in that room you live in? What is the square yards of your plot of land at your house or your apartment? I don't know. Say,
Say, look, how many miles it is between your house and your job? I don't know. I never clocked it. Say, you don't do a goddamn thing about how to move around in your own world. Are you talking about the inches of the earth? But you know, everything has a purpose. And if you follow me, you will learn to appreciate this. What does those big magical figures, that great numeration, what is the purpose of it? Psychology. It's to only strain your mind and make you think bigger, make the tight muscles of your mind stretch. But at one point, you ought to see that where you use that stretch, that expanded capacity is right here at home. Start right with the matter at hand, and that's where you start using that expanded capacity. Praise be to Allah. So we're talking about a quality here, a quality that we have been neglecting, a quality that the environment, this world, its crooked leaders, its oppressors do not want us to give our attention to. And what is that quality? Social sentiment. Social sentiment. Believe me, in spite of the shape of our people, the African-American people, and despite the looks of us, when we're talking about the social state of the African-American people, you know, we're in bad shape, socially speaking. But look here, nevertheless, dear people, this is where we have our strongest potential, strongest quality, is in that social nature, our social conscience. How can I bring that to your mind now? How can I make you see that this is our precious asset? Do you know history doesn't record people coming through the kind of treatment we came through for two or three centuries? Families broken up. Families not allowed to be families. Members sold to different masters. One family scattered all over the state and all over the land. But when those people get their freedom, they still become family people. They still want a family. Centuries designed to break up the family and really to destroy even the urge in us to be a family. And after all those centuries of destruction of the family fabric of the African American, still today, his pride is a decent family. I don't care. Don't tell me about our men. I know our men. Their circumstances are decided by our oppressors. Our men take pride in a decent family. Our men love nothing on this earth more than a peaceful, respectful, decent family. And let me tell you something about our women. Our women have that in so strong in their nature that since the white man didn't let them execute it in their own black family, they went to him and they poured that out upon his babies. And the white man preferred them to his own white women. Say, oh, I want to get a black mammy in here so that mammy can raise my child. Because that's in us. And it's strong in us. That social love, that social bonding. A social bonding, it's a quality, it's a power. It's a social bonding thing. It bonds you together socially. And the world fixed it so we can't use that with each other. Don't you know there was a time when black people were afraid to let white people see them getting close to each other and showing too much affection toward you? Don't you know that? Because they were afraid that a white man would think that they're trying to get together to oppose him. They knew that the white man would fear their unity. So they were afraid of unity. And subconsciously, psychologically, you are still afraid to show the white man your unity. Because you've inherited that in your genes from the days of terror, from the days of torture and whippings and beatings. They have put that into your genes. And you're afraid that if you show unity, the white man may become nervous. Yes, believe me. But it's in you. That's the strongest urge in you. The strongest urge in you is the urge to be a dignified family. To bring back family dignity to your life.
and to establish a community where the people are conscious of each other's needs, responding to each other's needs, supporting each other in their common needs. That's the strongest desire in you. Ain't no other desire in you stronger than that. You can lie to yourself, you can't lie to me, because God has shown me these things very clearly. Now, dear beloved people, I say the strongest thing in us is that social bonding, that principle that bonds us socially. The world has taken us away from it. The world has made us afraid, fearful, to give in to that urge. But still it's there. I've seen black women, and you've known it, and I've read books on them. Black women go to horrible extremes just to protect that child, or to at least see that child off to a better start. Black woman will go out and get a job and work like a man. She'll sacrifice for herself. She'd be hungry. She'd get that, put that money on that baby. Black women will stand up against the government to protect that black child. You know, you can put him in chains, beat him, but after a while it touched mother's heart. And mother say, that's enough. You picked on my child enough. You're going to have to kill me. Stop it. I've seen mother stand up like that. Stand up to the police. Say, look here, you stop beating on my child. You leave my child alone. That's enough. Don't you hit that boy no more, or you're going to have to kill me. That's in the mother. Oh, yes. Mothers go out and sell themselves on the corner. She's a prostitute on the corner. She's a filthy, low thing on the corner. But she bring that money in, and she say, boy, you ain't going to have this shame. I'm sending you to college. I'm going to make something out of you. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying that this is a beautiful principle. This is a beautiful quality that God has put in every human being. And we have it as much as any other ethnic group, as much as any other race. We have this quality. And this is the quality we can build on. But first we have to understand that this world has conditioned us to be fearful, to be afraid, to respond to this urge and bring our families together in unity and love each other. They got blacks among us. And when they see two of us getting too close together, they try to bring enmity. They want to separate us. They want to make us suspicious of each other. They fear our unity. The black is not working for himself. The black is working for our enemy, the establishment, the rotten people in this establishment. Yes. You imams, the more you like me and the more you trust me, the more they're going to fire arrows at you. The more they're going to shoot at you to make your heart and your feelings turn against me, to make you suspect me. Say, yeah, you worked for him like a dog. What is he doing for you? What did he do for you when you got in that situation and you needed some money? What did he do for you when your mess just needed a, when you need that mortgage, when you needed to pay that mortgage? What did he, ma'am, do for you when you were down there in Sedalia and you needed some money to keep on going with the program? Did he, ma'am, come to your aid, make my associates suspicious of me because they fear the close bonding of the African-American man? Because they know that that particular urge in him has been starved for centuries, starved even in Africa. And once it really comes to light, once it really gets free, and it really starts functioning naturally, they know they're going to have a hell of a competition on this earth from African-American people. But praise be to God, we're going to talk to you, we're going to speak to that power in you, and we're going to work on you with the help of God and bring it out until you become free enough to say, I'm going to be a family. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my wife. I don't care if she doesn't smell good this morning. That's my wife. She'll smell good this evening.
Right.
We ain't going to walk away for these foolish reasons we used to walk away for. We meet each other. We like each other. We mate together. We go to the preacher. We get married. And then we come at home and cause the breath don't smell good. Breath smell bad. Every morning, I'm going to get me another wife. You get her, quite nice, and her breath smells good. She's trying to get you. And after you're in her for a while, you wake up her breath stinks too. And maybe your feet stink. Or maybe you got another problem. We're going to have to tolerate these petty problems. We're going to have to look and see the value of each other. And don't care your stinking breath. I mean, that ain't you, baby. You more to me than a bad breath. But woman, you've been helping me with my children. I see new life coming up here. I see a future for me after I'm dead. And you've been working with this. You've helped these children. You've sacrificed these children. You've spent time and labor and blood and sweat building this family. I ain't going to turn away from you because your breath stinks or because your hair doesn't look as pretty as the next woman. Yeah, this world has messed us up. And we're going to get this family back together. Yes, tolerate each other. Anybody can use a little soap. And if you got halitosis and can't change it, well, hell, what's wrong with putting a mask on? Put a mask on. Men will work in a factory, and they can't smell that stuff they're working with. The man tell them, say, look, the safety rules, here, put on your mask before you go in the work area. He puts it on his mask, and he goes in the work area. And the mask doesn't bother him in the work area. He just enjoys his work, and all the material look good. Somebody come in there and see with the mask on, say, hey, hello, how you doing? Hey, man, what's happening, man? Okay, see you later, I'm working. Now, how come you can't have that relationship at home? See, when you're talking about making money, you know how to do the things that's necessary, right? If the air ain't too nice, you put on a mask, and you're just as happy with your work as you were as though the air wasn't even bad. Say, oh, she snores in her sleep. Oh, he snores too loud. Isn't that a terrible, petty, childish reason to talk about breaking up your family? Oh, he doesn't pay me nice compliments anymore. Why, hell, the man got a whole lot of problems. He ain't the same man anymore. When you met him, he didn't have all those children and all those bills. Oh, he doesn't call me sweetie like he used to. Well, that man got a lot of bitterness to carry on his back now. Be happy if he calls you sweetie once in a blue moon. Yeah, so we have to learn how to tolerate each other and understand each other and be like the Jew, be like the Englishman, be like the Irish. Man, that man don't break up his family until he just have to. The foolish ones among them do that, but the average one among them, they don't do that. No, indeed. And look here. God come to us in a time when it's really, 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 really crucial for the world and crucial for us. Because if we respond in the right way, we can certainly become the most stable people, the most advanced people in America. This message is coming to us in a time, the call to us to come to Al-Islam and to come to Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad and make him your leader above all men on earth. This call is coming in the right time. It's coming in a time when the white man's family is now suffering the same kind of problems and diseases that he threw out into the society for us. Now that stuff is backing up on him. And now he's finding himself going to the divorce courts too often. Now if we get our thing together, don't you know we can become the leaders in America and the leaders for the world? Why shouldn't we become the leaders? We haven't been. They have been. It should be our turn, shouldn't it? All right. So we're going to become more sophisticated. We're going to become more intelligent as family people. And we are not going to run to the divorce court. We're going to treat each other better. We ain't going to get upset because a wife does a little thing. A husband does a little thing. We ain't going to make that little thing bigger than the precious family or bigger than the relationship of marriage. We're going to be able to say, I can forgive you for that. I can excuse you for that. That ain't bigger than our contract. We're going to be able to say that. And we're going to show this white world that we still got that. We still got something here. It's not gone. The original man is still here. Oh, yeah. We're going to use nature, that potential in nature. We're going to get that social bonding again. Dear beloved people, as I conclude this, now I'll go back to the major source. What does the Quran say? I want to show you a comparison. A beautiful comparison, a powerful message. I want to show you this. What does the Quran say? Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad a surah. It's called the Quraysh. The Quraysh. It is the name of the prophet, the tribe of the prophet. he was born of that tribe. His ancestor is named Hashem. He was of the tribe of Quraysh. And Hashem was the custodian, the caretaker for the Kaaba when the great army of the elephants came to break down the precinct. And the great horde of elephant, the great elephant army came, and they were waiting for the people to come out armed to meet the invaders. But instead of an army coming out, an old man, the ancestor of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, came out, named Hashem. He had the key to the Kaaba. He was the caretaker. He came out, and the chief of the army said, Where's your defenses? Who's going to defend this house? The old man Hashem said, the Lord of this house is his house. He will defend it. That's what Hashem told me, see? Said he will defend it. So we know, as the story, Muslims know from the story goes, the elephants, the army of elephants, they started to move against the Kaaba, led by the big man Abraham. Yes. Mm-hmm. And a strange thing happened. God caused a flock of birds to pass over the herd of elephants. And these birds had picked up from some stone quarry area sharp pieces of stone that had a poison in it, that when it touched the flesh, it caused the flesh to dissolve. And they dropped the pebbles out over the herd of elephants. And these sharp stones dropped from such height hit the elephant, and just a little prick was enough. Pricked the elephant's tough hide and caused his skin, his flesh, to dissolve. And the Quran say, and the army of the elephants was rendered as straw, chewed up and spit out by the animal. They were rendered as straw, eaten up and chewed out. Chewed up and spit out. Yes, we know, we that's the story of what happened to that herd of elephants. But what I want to bring your attention to now, all that have great meaning. What I want to bring your attention to now is the fact that the tribe of Prophet Muhammad is the tribe of Quraysh. And this tribe was the custodian for the holy sacred precinct, the Kaaba. That's what I want to bring to your mind. In order to show you a comparison between the Quraysh and the African-American here in America. All right. What was going for the tribe of Quraysh? It was the same social urge, same family urge, the same bonding, social bonding material, the same thing. How do we know? God has shown this to me. God has given me insights into this. The word ilah says, wa ilah fi Quraysh, and for the protection of the Quraysh. What is the protection of the Quraysh? What is the word? Ilafi. What is Ilafi? Ilafi comes from the word alafa. What is alafa? Social affection. Social affection. That bonding, social bonding material I'm talking about. Alafa. The social affection that make people want to be together. Make people want to group together. Be with each other. Don't you know black folks just like to be with each other? If we can't be with each other, we want to be with somebody. We don't like being alone. That urge is powerful enough. Say, oh, how come them niggas like to go out on the weekend and stay out all night? They just like to be together. They ain't that funky. They just like to be together. The manipulators of the culture made it funky. They would be there at that party if it wasn't funky. When it wasn't funky, they were there. They just like to be together. They go to churches and they like church. How come? Because church brings them together in a social spirit, in a bonding spirit, coming together with each other, feeling each other. They like to be anywhere together. If there's a party, if there's an entertainment, they like to go together, right? Oh, we just go together. We just like to be together. Can't stay by ourselves. Just got to go. Woman get up in the morning, she just got to have some company. Her man gone. Girl, what you doing? Yeah. Yeah, I just finished washing my dishes too. What you doing now? Well, I don't know. I guess I'll look at a few stories. A few soap operas. But she's lonesome. See, the trick of the of the materialist? He know you need this. He puts a family into your house when your husband is gone. That's the television with a whole family on it. Hey, did you watch the Prosper family? Or some other family, you know, the Waltons or somebody. Yeah, I watch the girl. I don't miss it. That's because you're lonesome. You want to be in a family. So in some kind of vicarious way, your soul have gone into that television, and you've gotten into that family. So you're enjoying that need through that family. You see? So we're talking about something here very important. All right. We got to beat the devil at his tricks. We're going to beat him, too. My wife's going to think I'm crazy when I throw all those television out of my house. But if it gets to that, if it comes to that point, that's what I'll have to do. I ain't going to let them break up our family. I throw the television out of the house, and Dad'll put another one in there until the family starts loving each other like the Waltons. Eliphaz from Eliphaz means drawn together by affection, social affection, group of the need to be together, to be close to each other. You see? Eliphaz. Say, where Eliphaz Quraysh, and for the protection of the Quraysh. What is their protection? This social affection, social urge, social bonding thing, social sentiments in them. That's their protection. You know, we speak of feeling, and what do you feel with? Your skin, right? And they say when you're thin-skinned, that means you're sensitive, very sensitive. Thick-skinned, that means you're not too sensitive, right? Hard-skinned means you're cold. You're getting cold now, right? So we know that the skin is used for that. We use that as a symbol of these sentiments, these feelings. And we know the body represents what? Symbolically, the social body of the people. The individual body symbolically represents the social body of the people. So here you have skin upon skin. Skin upon skin. Skin hugging skin. Your body is not one layer of skin. The skin on your body is not one layer. It's layer upon layer. It's skin hugging skin. And here skin hugging skin holds in the blood. It protects the lifeblood from coming out and being lost. Skin hugging skin. Now, if you can think of the lifeblood as that substance or that essence that is necessary to keep the body healthy and strong and keep it growing. Now think, if we just have that social affection, the love to group with each other, be close with each other, that will be all we need to protect our productive juices from going out to the white man. Feeding the Irish community, feeding the Spanish community, feeding everybody but the black community. Because we don't have the skin wrapping on itself, hugging itself. Can you see the message? You get the message? Now, let us look at the word Eliphaz again. There's a word in Arabic taken from the same word. It's called melfouf. What is melfouf? Cabbage. How come cabbage is called this? Because cabbage hugs itself. The leaves come up open. They come up open and then they go toward each other. And they just hug each other. And the cabbage keep growing like that. Every time new members come, the new members hug the members that was there before them. And they keep on, and that's the way they grow. The new members hug the members that was there before them. And after a while, you got a nice, big, solid head of cabbage. All right, eh? Now, you know, it used to call money lettuce, didn't it? You know, lettuce does that too. Lettuce does that too, and they call money lettuce, you see? Well, we'll get some money when we start being lettuce. But I think cabbage is a little bit more solid. Now, let me tell you something about the Nation of Islam symbolism. See, the wise, they have the knowledge, and they'll throw it among us as symbols. But they don't let us know anything. And then they look back, say, well, if they're equal to us, Let them see. Let them do what we able to do. Let them break the riddle. You see, you don't know this. This is a trick been played on people down through the ages. The Egyptians, when they were in power, they played it on the world. The Romans came, Greeks came into power, they played it on the world. They play these tricks on the world. They get the knowledge, and then they say, we were able to break the symbols of the civilization that was before us. Now, if you're equal to us, let's see you break the symbols. So, you know, they throw the symbols among us, and then they laugh at you. And they think they're our equals, but they can't break the symbols. Praise be to Allah. Allah gave this man the power to break the symbols. Praise be to Allah. Now, dear beloved people, look, Pharaoh, what did he do? He told us, he said, eat cabbage. Not the green cabbage, the white-haired cabbage. Right? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught you all that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that. See, this is what our Savior taught us. He called Pharaoh the Savior. He said, this is what the Savior taught us. I'm giving you the food that he taught us to eat. So he said, don't eat the green cabbage. Now, I noticed the green cabbage in the cabbage in the market, it's not. Unity. Hearts tight. I tell you what I told another group I talked to here recently. I told them, now don't think that I don't eat green cabbage too. I find that all three of the cabbages are good now that I've studied them. They all have their special qualities. I eat the green one, I eat the white one, and I found out the red one tastes even better than those two. So I eat all of them now. Praise be to Allah. Okay, li'ilati Quraysh, for the protection of the Quraysh. Now we have some idea now of what God gave the Quraysh that was their protection. Do you know that they were protected even before Muhammad became prophet, peace be on him? I just told you about an ancestor. He wasn't no prophet. He wasn't even called a Muslim. In the history, he's called an idolater, right? Hashem is called one of the idolaters, a pagan. But Hashem, even in his false religion, Hashem felt that that house was God's house and God had the power to protect it. Are you getting the message? Are you my followers or not? Am I your leader or not? All right. If I'm not, you don't deserve another one. I'm talking about you who studied under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You who studied under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you understand what I'm saying now. If you don't love me and see me above all men on this earth, you don't deserve nothing in the future. Because this is the blessing of Allah to you. All right, so let us look at this. So here is, before the right religion comes, they're under the wrong kind of concept. They were still receiving protection from God. God said, this is my house, I will protect it. The pagans, they had lost the way from God. They had 399 idols in God's house that he made to the glory of only one God, right? But they had 399 different idol gods in that house. But even at that time, when they had the wrong idea of God, even at that time, God was protecting them. Was it the idol gods protecting them? No, idol gods can't protect nothing. Allah was protecting them. All right. Okay. Now, so Hashem now is a custodian for the Kaaba and a member of the pagan people, of the idolaters, and also a member of Quraysh. And Prophet Muhammad, the son of the Quraysh, what protected Prophet Muhammad? Allah, we know. But how? Even through the Quraysh. His jealous relatives, uncles, tried to excite the Quraysh to do physical harm to Muhammad. And the other members of the Quraysh said, how can we do this? How can we do such a thing to a son of the Quraysh? Saying especially to Muhammad, our fine son. Muhammad was admired by all of them. Say, how can we do this? So we know that the character of the Arab people at that time as a social group or as a community was very much like the character of the African-American community. The African-American community today is a community of selfish leaders. It's a community of self-styled leaders. It's a community of bickering, crab in the barrel leaders. Isn't it? It's a community of turf-commanding hoodlums. In Chicago, the El Rukin, the Disciple, the Ranger, etc., etc. Whole lot of gangs, each one claiming such and such territory. That's the state of our community, African-American community. What was the state of the Arab community back then? They also were a community of turf-commanding gangs, warring factions, divided tribes divided against each other. That was their state back then. But there was something that they held precious. What they all respected was the Kaaba. All of them respected the Kaaba. They had a reverence. They had a healthy, a reverence, a spiritual, a reverential respect for it, for the Kaaba, all the tribes. All right? Now, if you understand what the Kaaba represents the right of the individual to his own personal dignity. Now, Kaaba means many things, but all of it agrees. This, what I'm telling you now, agrees with the whole meaning of Kaaba. Okay, so what do we find among us? We all divided, jealous of each other, won't support a leader that proved to be the best for all of us, but we can't get together and support that one leader as our leader, at least for a certain purpose. We can't support him. We divide. But all of us have this strong in us that we believe in the right of the individual to his own personal dignity, don't we? Say, oh, he have a right to his own opinion. Or ain't right for you to try to impose yourself on him. If he doesn't want that, you shouldn't force it on him. Isn't this us? We are so sensitive to the right of the individual. And the right of the individual is a universal sacred principle. And the Kaaba is a sign of that, the right of the individual. But when you understand the right of the individual, the right of the individual is the right of all men. And the men can't get together if they are not going to bond together. If all of us are going to become individualistic in this right, our society will suffer and die and never grow. We all are going to have to see that this right is a principle of equality for all of us, and that principle of equality should bring us together in unity as a group. Say, okay, let this be our first principle. La ilaha illallah, and nature is one. Man's dignity is one. Man's dignity is one. You have no dignity above me. I have no dignity above you. Let's respect the right of the individual. Let's respect the human personal dignity or the individual dignity of the human person. Let us respect that. But understand that we now have to get together upon this particular principle of equality and respect for each other and do work as a people, as a group. Isn't that right? So what comes after the knowledge that all of us have this personal dignity that we have to respect, this common dignity that all of us have to respect? What comes after that? The bonding together, the coming together, unifying, collecting ourselves and standing, organizing in a society for a purpose, for a work, for an objective, on that principle that none of us are going to be treated inferior, that all of us are going to be respected for our individual work, right? But that doesn't work for us. We stand up for that. Oh, yeah. He's entitled to that. She's entitled to that. After all, she's a person, too. She's a human being, too. Isn't that what you hear from our mouths? But we haven't come to that development that is possible because of the social nature. We haven't come to that development where we say, okay, we recognize that. Now, since we are all the same, why don't we bind ourselves together for a purpose? For protection. All right. Okay, so, yes. Says, وَإِلَى فِي قُرَيْشِ إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. And their protection is assured or guaranteed for them through the winter and the summer. What is this? What does it mean? If you don't have this kind of sentiment, bonding sentiment, family love, group love for each other, when summer comes, you become divided. You become destroyed. You lose that protection, the social bonding. What is summer? What does summer represent? It represents heat. Heat. When it gets hot, you get irritable, don't you? And when you get irritable, you're inclined to get away from each other. Or don't get so close to me, it's hot. Poor mate sleeping. Got to get up in the morning. Only got about 2 more hours of sleep. But it's hot. Hey, wake up, get your leg off me. It's too hot to be this close. See, what's causing us to treat each other like that? We don't have that development. We haven't developed that principle, that quality hasn't been developed. So we give under the heat, we lose the bonding. We lose the bonding under the heat. Little pressure come on us, instead of uniting and staying together, little pressure drives us apart. Few threats from the outside, instead of bringing us together, get hot, drives us apart, right? And then winter comes, get cold. What is cold? Cold means you get insensitive. You get insensitive. It's the other extreme. Heat, severe heat, is extreme emotional irritation, etc. And extreme cold means just extreme insensitivity. Not sensitive at all to each other. You have become extremely callous, hardened. What makes us hardened? What brings on that winter? The seasons. See, the summer comes, and then what comes after summer? Fall. What does fall mean? Harvest. The animals in the fall time, they're picking the nuts and holding them in their house. This is storing up time, right? So fall is the storing up time. We start storing up for each other. So storing up for ourselves and for our own little private families, storing up for ourselves make us become selfish and hard to the needs of each other, right? I got mine, you get yours. Oh, I stored this up for myself. I ain't sharing it with nobody. Right? Yeah, that's what comes into play. See, fall brings that along. A lot of material, and you eat too much, you become greedy. And after a while, you're not sensitive to each other's needs. You just been filling up too much at harvest time. Now your belly done got used to eating like mine. Hold up. So hard times coming, you know, I ain't gonna share with nobody. I got to prepare for hard times. Got a big appetite now. So you storing a lot of weight for yourself, right? So in storing away for yourself, coldness come on. See? Fall, the dropping of the fruits. Then you store up, you become greedy. Storing up, eating, and becoming greedy. Then you get hard, and that brings on the winter. That brings on the winter. You see? So now you're cold toward each other. Selfish and cold. Greedy, and I got mine, you got yours. I don't want to be bothered. Don't tell me about no Negro need to unite. We get like that, don't we? That's the winner. But if you keep that bond, then look what happened to the cabbage. Summer 90 degrees. That cabbage is still doing the same thing. In the hot heat, that cabbage still bonding. Now, cabbage is a plant that even after it done got cold, That cabbage still trying to do that. You know that? You know, cabbage will last even after frost or snow sometimes. And you look out there, the cabbage still alive. It is still trying to, it's still there. I ain't giving up. I'm going to keep my family together. Yeah. See, so it comes from that same word, alapha, melifu, same word, alapha. It means if you keep that. So if you love each other as a social group, if you love each other as a family, when hard times come, and the heat gets hot. Threats coming from everywhere. You got bad times. It's getting hot now. But you don't break up your family because of that. Instead of breaking up, you still hold each other close. Say, look, the family got to stick together. These are hard times. Say, look, they're threatening us. They're threatening to do us harm. We got to stick together. It's dangerous times, right? The heat doesn't cause you to fly up and start becoming irritable, being irritated by each other. Okay, I know I'm tired. I'm gone. You all make it for yourself. I'm leaving. You don't get like that. when that bonding, when that love for the family and love for the group is strong, the more the opposition, the higher the temperature goes, the more you stick together, the more you resist it, and keep that family together, right? That's what God is telling us with the surah, with this chapter. The Quraysh. وَإِلَاهِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَاهِهِمْ رَسْلَةَ الشِّفَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Their protection is through over both winter and summer. Get cold, they still don't lose that ilahi. If it's hot, they still don't lose that ilahi. They're still together. But this world can give us good times. When the economy is running good, they give the blacks a little good time. And our salaries, our good living, make us spend too much on ourselves. We become selfish, pimps, superflies, money spenders, big money spenders. We take our mind off of the destiny that we set ourselves upon to accomplish. That is the destiny of raising the whole people up to dignity. We lose that. We forgot about that. We forgot about Garvey. We forgot about Frederick Douglass. We forgot about Garvey, Drew Ali. We forgot about Martin Luther King. We forget about Dr. Elijah Muhammad. We forget about everybody when the little money comes into circulation. Right? Little money. Black power turns to green power. Black power turned to green power. And then we wanted fancy cars, big hats, fur coats, chinchillas, alligator shoes, a lot of show-off money, a lot of prostitutes, a lot of whores, a lot of playing in the bed and in other people's bed. We just went to hell, didn't we? That shows you that we need to educate this social principle in us. We got a strong quality in us, but it must be educated. And believe me, the Quran can educate us. And just as the Quran brought the Quraysh to dignity, and the Quraysh became a focus point through Prophet Muhammad for what was possible for all the Arab tribes, and united the whole of Arabia and brought them to be the torchbearer of sciences and culture and dignity for the whole world, that can come to you. If Allah did it with them, He can do it with you. And I believe the sign that He's going to do it with you is me standing here telling you these things. All right, let's go on. Now, after understanding that and knowing that the house is a symbol of that precious quality that you have innately in you, God created you with it. The world can turn your mind around, make you drunk and crazy, set your forces into divergent paths, but that is still innately in you. All we need to do is awaken it with the help of God. Is that not right? Okay, so dear beloved people, now, says, فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Now that you know this, you know what the precious symbol is, and you know how God has shown you now that you have to become united upon that principle. Don't be divided upon that principle. Muslims five times a day return in prayer as group, and we are as a group united, a circle circling the whole world, and that particular house is our focal point. We are recognizing that the common dignity of the common person that's the same for every man is what we need to rally around and build a society. Build an order that will not fail. Praise be to Allah. The world has stolen this from the prophets. The world stole this from Prophet Muhammad. The West stole this from the Quran. They didn't conceive this idea of a democracy, a democratic republic, built on the dignity and the sacredness of the common person by themselves. They got that from the Quran. All right. Now we have it. We have it. We have now access to the great treasure of the tools that build the world. God has blessed us with it. This is freedom. This is independence. This is dignity for real. And don't think I'm joking when I say that you should run me as president, as the president, the future president of this country. And every time they have an election, you should say, our choice is Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad, president of the United States of America. Hold up. And if I never become president, pray to God that out of this community, following Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad, one day we will get a man like him, in his spirit, following his direction, that will be president of these United States. That's right. Run it while I'm alive, and when I die, still run a man from this community, president of the United States. And God is going to bless me to give you the plan, the program, the concept for a new party, and the whole plan and program. Oh, yes. Oh, you're in Washington, D.C. You damn right. I'm in Washington, D.C. Doesn't make me any difference. This is a good place to tell you that. In fact, I can't think of a better spot to tell them that. This is the best place to tell you that. That's right. I told you, I made that announcement here some weeks ago, right? And it wasn't no harder than a week later that Jesse Jackson announced that he might run for president, right? Now, do you think that's just a coincidence? That's no coincidence. Say, come willingly or unwillingly. But you're going to come anyway. Oh, yeah. They just can't get around it. They don't have no direction. They have no vision, no sight into the future. So they get a cue from me, and then they come out with something. Believe it or not. Yes, that's the truth. Yes. All right. So there's that protection is over both winter and summer. And we understand that. They say, Yabudu Rabta has and Bay. Now, therefore, worship the Lord of this house. Worship Allah who created this nature. Don't be in spookism. Don't be in superstition. Don't have these false idols, these false deities. All of these symbolic gods. Put that mess down and worship the Lord who created this dignity of the common person. The Lord of this house. Doesn't the New Testament call this the temple? And we see the sign, the Kaaba, a sign of the house that God had built through his prophet Abraham and the son of the prophet Ishmael, two prophets, right? A symbol of the same thing, the inherent common dignity of the person that's common for everybody, same for everybody. So God said, now, don't worship that. God now has shown you your innate worth. Your inborn potential. Now, don't make that a God and say, this is the Son of God manifest in the world. Don't make this a Christ, a Son of God. That's you. What did Christ say? I in you and you in me. Whatever I've got is common to all of us. That's what the New Testament says. So Allah is trying to get us to see that we made a mistake in trying to interpret what the prophets came to tell us. What Jesus came to tell us. We made a mistake. And Allah is telling us in the Quran, now don't worship that as God. That's no God. That's you. That's your potential. I created that. That potential has a dynamism in it. It can grow to a capacity where it can become responsible for everything. It's an environment. And God will bring down things bigger than you and bring them into service, bring them into production. Don't see the sun? God will bring that into your service. See the moon? God will bring that into your service. Look up at the heavens. You see all those things up there? Yes. God will bring that into your service. Look now at the earth. You see the earth and the forces of nature? Yes. God will bring that into your service. Sakhara ma'fi samawati wal ardh. He has made everything in the heavens and everything in the earth to be of service to you. And at the same time, he cautions you. He said, now think not, man, that your creation is bigger than this universe. It's only because of Allah that you can utilize the forces and the materials in the environment. It's only because of Allah you can harness the power of the sun, that you can harness the forces of the earth, the nature, that you can harness these things and bring them into human service. It's only because of Allah. Now look at your own matter. Who revealed that to you? Wasn't it God? Now that God had revealed that to you, Muhammad, and had revealed that to you, Quraysh, now worship not that, but worship the Lord of that house. فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Now, is it you now? Is it you that feeds? Your God that you worship? Wasn't he hungry? Didn't he say, I was hungry, and you fed me not? I thirst, and you didn't give me drink? Of Allah says, he feeds not, he does not drink, he does not tire. He's not of your nature. He made you, he's not of that. No fatigue comes upon him. He neither sleeps nor slumber. He's not fed. Saying, man, he doesn't ask that you feed him. He doesn't need, he wasn't a hunger among you. He doesn't ask that he be fed. He is the feeder. He's the creator and the feeder. He feeds not. He is Allah. Oh, that's too much for my mind. You bet it is. He created you. If he's not too much for your mind, then you must be Allah. He's supposed to be too much for your mind. And when he stopped being too much for your mind, you have lost your mind. Praise be to Allah. Says he, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي يَطْعَمُهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَيَطْعَمُهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Now here comes two principles too. Two factors, two influences that account for the mess that we have of our life, the mess we make of our life, the mess the world has made of our life. الَّذِي يَطْعَمُهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَيَطْعَمُهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Say, so worship the Lord of this house who feeds them against hunger and who protects them against fear. What messed up the movement of the blacks? They had progressed, the freedom movement, all the way up to civil rights legislation. The government and the country opened up, equal opportunity. At that point, at the highest point of our progress, what brought us down? What shattered us? What shattered the progress? What messed up the mind? Materialism. Materialism. The belly, hungry for a lot of wealth, hungry for a lot of play, a lot of pleasure. Hungering, just hungering for the things of this world. Didn't it mess us up? Took us off course, took us off base, took us off the road to our destiny? And what is the other problem that messes us up? Say, well, I met him in home, and he gave them security against fear. We fear the white man so much we have betrayed a noble purpose like this. We have betrayed this great miraculous movement that I had myself. We have betrayed it because we fear the white man. I don't care if the white man had pictures of me as a freak in an orgy. And if I got saw the light of this mission and wanted to join Imam Razi Muhammad, I say, if that's what you got to threaten me with, you come on out and you publish it. I'd rather be known as a freak of yesterday than to have you use that over my head to keep me from giving support to this man. What I'm telling you, and I'm a man who believes in high moral principles, and if I was stooped to something like that, I know that would terrify me almost to know that somebody could put something like that out on me. But I'm telling you, the worst that I could think of that they could do to me, if they had that over my head, and I saw, as I see, what God has done to us through myself, and through you, through your patience, and your following, and your waiting, and your hopes, and your struggles. Look here, I don't care what they had against me, or what they had over my head, I say, come on out with it. I'll just have to tell the world and the community that, yes, I did that then, but I'm with you now. I don't care what you did. If it was yesterday, make up your mind today that you're going to be right for Allah's sake, and you're going to give support to this new life, this new world. This is not a movement. This is the world. Yes, it is. Believe me, this is the world. Allah is making the world over again through us. So let's not allow hunger and fear to cause us to miss out on our glorious destiny. Let's show this America that we are not subject to the changes that come about in the air of their society. That they can get cold, they can get hot, and we have protection against it. They can go crazy, they can become beatniks. They can become priests. They can freeze up and become monks. We won't be touched by it. We're going to stay where we are. Human beings, the common man. Keep the dignity of the common person. We're going to unite. We're going to strengthen that family. We're going to become a unified community. We're not going to let factions divide us. We're not going to let our leadership be divided. We're not going to tolerate imams tearing at each other. We're not going to tolerate no turf-conscious hoodlums. This country is free. We're going to help it be free. Our Muslim community is free, and any imam that's qualified to be an imam, he doesn't have to look for no turf. The whole earth is Allah's place. We build our masjid where we want. We're going to have more than one masjid in these cities, and each imam must respect the other imam. And we're going to hold every imam accountable to the law of the book, and to the example of Prophet Muhammad, and to my leadership that expresses that.
And that's how we're going to progress. We're not going to let the white man or no other man or no forces, governmental forces, no forces, break us anymore. Allah has blessed us. We're free. And we're going to build solidly, unitedly. Dear beloved people, this is our day. This is our day. Finally, the most despised of the human family has been rewarded for its suffering. I pray Allah guide us to see and understand and bless us to remain strong, faithful to this cause. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. A marvelous day. A marvelous work. Alhamdulillah. We have a few announcements to make. Brother Kashif will come forward and make the announcements. Yes, the imams will have the food over the masjid next door for you. I just want to say one thing. It bothers me. I must say this. There is no history since the history of Prophet Muhammad that we can compare with this day. You can't. Real quickly, look. Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad, his father, right? Idolatry worship. He worshiped a man. The Hashim, he mentioned, right? Worship an idol, right? The same history. His uncles, right? Bothered him about that. Imam's uncles bothered him about the same thing, right? This is history. We are blessed, and it is not nothing spooky. So we are here together. Prophet Muhammad brought the true message, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad the Rasulullah. And here's a man, Imam Anthony Muhammad, came behind his father and brought La ilaha illallah, Muhammad the Rasulullah. What do we need to wake us up? This is it. Hold on. Follow Imam Anthony Muhammad, and Allah will make you successful. Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.